If I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times, that same old rationalization. You know the one I'm talking about. If God is really good, and if God is truly loving, then a loving God would never send somebody to hell. How many times have you heard somebody say that? If God's really good, if God is really loving, if God is everything he says he is, then nobody's going to hell. Usually when somebody says that, it means one of two things. Either it means they are saying to you, there is no such thing as a place called hell. There is no such thing as this place that into eternity is a place of eternal and perpetual punishment and judgment. Or they are saying to you, if there is such a place as hell, then only the really bad people go there. I'll never forget that time during my college years when I heard a lecture about that very service. A very eloquent man came in as a visitor to our campus, and he talked to us about eternity to come. And he was one of those who was convinced that if God is truly loving, then there could not be a place of judgment called hell. And he was very, very persuasive. And I walked out of the lecture that day as a 19-year-old student, and I thought, that just really makes a lot of sense to me. You know, he really has about convinced me that that's the way it is. And I remember walking into my house that day, and my folks were there. And I said to them, you know, I think I've decided that I don't believe there's such a place as hell. I was expecting an explosion. Good Southern Baptist boy raised in a Southern Baptist family. And I understood that my parents were not nearly as theologically sophisticated as I was. That I had attained a wisdom that had kind of passed them by. And it was going to take them a while to catch up with me. And I expected them to explode. Instead, my mother looked at me and very quietly she said, so you don't believe in a place called hell? No, ma'am, I don't think I do. Well, then that makes you wiser than Jesus, because Jesus believed in hell. And she went back to what she was doing. And I walked out of the living room, and I went to my room, and I got out my Bible, and I began to look at what did Jesus believe about this place. And I found out Jesus had a lot to say about judgment, about eternal death, about unending darkness, and a place where the fire never goes out and the worm never dies. And how Jesus taught about the wide way that leads to destruction and the narrow way that leads to everlasting life. And I learned that Jesus said that one of two things happened to every soul after they die. Either they spend eternity with Christ in heaven or eternity separated from him in hell. And most of all, I learned that you do not end up in either place accidentally. That your eternal destiny depends upon the choice you made during your life on earth. The gospel says that God has made a way for you to get to heaven, but you have to choose the right direction. And that's the passage we looked at together this morning. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So I want us to camp out a little bit in Romans 6:23 as we continue to walk through the gospel, because our church is built on a foundation of the gospel. And the Bible reminds us that we need to know that both of these things are true. That the wages of sin truly are death. And the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So let's look at what the Bible tells us in Romans 6:23. And the first thing you need to know is the Bible tells us about the wages of sin. It says that sin demands a price. Not an easy price. Not a demanding price. The Bible says that sin demands an ultimate price. The wages of sin are death. And if you're being told, here's the judgment for the wrong that you've done, I can't imagine anything that goes further than to say, what you have done is deserving of death. Romans is not saying, if you do bad things, if you mess up, you're going to hurt yourself and you're going to die. It's not saying you, if you live in such a way that you are very self-destructive and you get involved in self-destructive habits, that those self-destructive habits are going to cause your body to stop breathing and someday you're going to die. What this passage is talking about is what happens when you face eternity with unconfessed and unforgiven sin. When you enter into eternity as a sinner, and the ultimate destination is death, hell, and the grave. You know, the gospel is good news, and this doesn't sound like very good news. And you know what? It's about to get worse, but let's carry on. The Bible says the wages of sin are an eternity of endless agony and loneliness and darkness and unending regret. You see, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says when you end up in that place, if you end up in that place, then you're in a place of absolute physical suffering. People ask me, will we have a body in heaven? Yes, we will. And you'll also have a body in hell, a body capable of experiencing agony and pain, and you will experience it to its utmost in hell. How do I know that's true? Jesus said it's true. He said it's the place where the flames never go out. It's the place where the worms never die. It's a place of agony and suffering. It's a place of darkness. It's a place where you will not know what's going on around you. All you will know is what you are experiencing at the very instant that it's going on, and it will go on and go on and go on without end. The Bible says it's a place of ultimate loneliness. You know, one of the most frightening images in Scripture that I can see is that Scripture about the rich man and Lazarus. You remember Lazarus who went to the bosom of Abraham? And the rich man who found himself suffering in hell. And the Bible says he looked up and he saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. It's almost as though it's saying that when you're in this place of suffering, you're aware of what could have been, while they're unaware of you. But maybe worst of all is that unending suffering regret of understanding it did not have to be this way. Why do I say that? Because the Bible says if you spend eternity apart from God, it will not be because a loving God sent you to hell. It will be your responsibility. That's why the Bible says eternal death is the wages of sin. The wages are the things you get because of what you've earned. Every time you work through a pay period, you expect the people who have employed you to pay you your wages. They're coming to you. You've earned them and you deserve them. They're yours. They don't have the right to decide whether or not you're going to receive your wages. They belong to you. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. God, all I want is what's coming to me. What a terrifying thing to say. Lord, all I want is justice. Not me, brother. God, all I want is what I deserve. The wages of sin mean you have earned what you've gotten. Not one person will be found in hell who will say, it is not fair. It is not fair. Years ago, I was involved for a time in a jail ministry at our county jail, and from time to time, about once a month, I was in there doing a worship service with some of the folks who were in there. And you know what I found out when you go to the jail? I found out that everybody in jail loves Jesus. Everybody. And you know what else I found out? And nobody did what put them in that place. Every one of them will say the same thing. It is not fair. It is not fair. I should not be here. But one of the things that's true when we face God in judgment is we will never find ourselves in hell saying to God, it is not fair. You shouldn't have done this to me. I don't deserve it. The thing that makes it an unending regret is realizing I am exactly where I deserve to be. It is absolutely fair. I did this to myself. You may be saying to yourself right now, he's just trying to scare me. And you would be right. One of the most frightening things to me these days is that so many people are not terrified at the prospect of hell. By and large, you walk around the world around us and you talk to them about hell and they think of it as a mythical place. But the scarier thing is, and you walk around and talk to people inside places like this, and they'll tell you the same thing. There's nothing like that out there. That's just kind of like the boogeyman. They use this to scare you and make you be good. But I'm here this morning to tell you, that's not true. It is a real place. And every time I hear somebody joking about hell, about being in hell, about being with their friends in hell, every time I hear people use it as a casual swear word, I think to myself, you just don't know. What does the Bible tell us? It tells us that hell is real and inescapable and awful beyond imagination. If I had to tell you anything about that place today, I would simply say this. You would rather be anywhere, anywhere in all of creation than in that place without escape. And here's the truth. And none of us have earned the opportunity to avoid it. Not one person deserves not to end up in that place. It's not Jim speaking, that's God speaking. That's in His Word. And that's the bad news. But you have to believe the bad news if you're going to hear the good news. And here's the good news. God hates the idea of the people He created in His own image, people He loves to the uttermost, those upon whom every hair of their head is precious to Him. He hates the idea that anybody should end up in that place. And the good news is what God has done to rescue you from eternal death. So what has a loving God done? The Bible says that while you have earned death, the wages of sin are death, it is possible to know that you have eternal life. That a holy, loving God wants to send you to heaven and not to that place. If God had His way, nobody would experience that place. Do you realize hell was never invented for the children, the people who were created to be the children of God? It was a place created for the punishment of angels. And it's our fault that we share their destiny, not God's. If God had His way, nobody would be in that place. How do I know that's true? Because that's what the Bible says. 2 Peter 3:9 declares, God is not willing for any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. What is God's perfect plan? God's perfect plan is that everybody find the way to escape that place of eternal regret. The door to heaven is available to everybody, but it has to be on God's terms. And God's terms are simple. They are simply this: we come through Christ. God is not willing that any should perish. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We come through Christ. How can I come to that place where I escape that place and receive God's eternal plan for me? Well, I come through Christ. He is God's only provision for eternal life. There is no other way. The reason Jesus came and lived and died and rose again is simple. He came so that we could have eternal life. He is our only option that leads to heaven. He is God's one and only way. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." What is the Bible saying? The Bible is saying if you're going to get to God, you're going to come through Jesus. God has a plan for every person to escape this destiny, this thing they've earned, the wages of sin. But his plan is the same for each and every person as well. And his plan is Jesus. His one and only plan is Jesus. That sounds narrow-minded. People choose a lot of ways to try to get to God. People choose the way of being good. People choose the idea that believing in God is enough. People choose other forms of religion that they think are going to make God happy. How can you be so narrow-minded as to say Jesus is God's one and only way? Well, again, your problem is not with me. Your problem is with Jesus himself, the one who says, what's that last phrase? No man comes to the Father except through me. You know what the problem with that quotation, no man, is? The problem with that quotation, no man, is there is no room for loopholes. There's no man unless, or no man except, or no man in addition to. There is simply no man comes to the Father except through me. If you have eternal life today, the one and only reason that you have eternal life is because you came to God through Jesus Christ, who paid the price and forgave your sins. So how do you obtain that salvation that only comes through Jesus? Romans 6:23 simply says this: you have to receive it as a free gift. The wages of sin is death. If you want to get what you've earned, that's what you get. But the free gift is eternal life. And you can't earn it. You just receive it. He has it. You need it. He wants to give it to you. But you have to receive it personally from Christ. He has something that you need more than anything in all of your life. And he wants you to have it. But you don't get it by osmosis, and it doesn't happen to you accidentally. You have to receive it. Let me show you what I'm talking about. So this morning, I've got a $5 bill in my wallet. Unfortunately, that's about all I have. But whoever wants it can have it. Whoever wants it first can have it. All you got to do is come get it. So who wants it? Who wants it? Who wants it? Come on. There's only one. If you don't come and get it, you'll never have it. Who wants it? Who wants it? You got to come get it. It's yours. And God says to us, who wants it? All you got to do is come get it. Here it is. It's here for you. It is there for the taking. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to explain it. All you have to do is receive it. All you have to do is come to him and say, because you have it and I need it, I will receive it. And God says to every one of us, there's nothing I want more than to give it to you. I only have one $5 bill. God's resources never run out. His mercies are new every morning. And all you have to do is take it. And that's the good news. That's the good news. Listen, if you walk out of here today and somebody asks you, because remember, what are we saying? Let me tell you about my church. Let me tell you about my church. Let me tell you what God is doing in my church. Let me tell you about First Baptist Church. And if you're telling people about your church and they say, so what did the preacher preach about Sunday? And you say, he preached about hell. You might even say something like this, and nobody ever preaches about that anymore. That was kind of different for somebody in our church to preach about this eternal place called hell. He preached about hell. Then you didn't get it, because that's not what I preached about at all. What have I been preaching about? I've been preaching about the fact that God has a free gift. And that free gift is eternal life. And in that eternal life is forgiveness of sin. It's from a Savior who didn't just wipe your sin away. He took it on himself and carried it to a cross so that it could be dealt with once and for all. And I told you the good news about a Savior who says to every one of us, I am not willing for you to perish. I want you to have eternal life. And he says to each and every one of you, us, here it is. Will you receive it? I want to give it to you. And that's what I've been preaching about. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the question I have for you tonight is, today is, are you here? And you have never received that free gift. You've heard about it. You could describe it. You could tell somebody all about it. You know more about that free gift than anybody else in this room. But where your soul is concerned, it's still in God's hands. And he's still extending it to you. Maybe today is the day when you receive that free gift through Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you have never given your life to Christ, you've never received that gift of eternal life, do not leave today without settling that issue. Because eternity is critical and eternity hangs in the balance. Make sure your life is right with Jesus. If today's the day when you need to be saved, in a minute we're going to stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. I'm going to be here. Rich is going to be here. We would love to help you receive God's free gift for your life. All you've got to do is come. If today's the day when you hesitate to come, if today's the day when you need to talk to somebody else, we're both going to be out in the lobby today. Our whole staff will be out there. Any one of us would love to talk to you about how you can make your life right with God. Maybe you're here today and you need a church home. You desperately need a fellowship of people that will surround you and love you and encourage you and disciple you. And you feel like today, God's putting me in this place. All you got to do to become a part of us, it's just come here and say, I want to bring my life as a believer to serve Jesus at First Baptist Church. Maybe you're here today as a Christian believer, and there are issues you need to do. God's putting a call on your life. There's issues you need to settle with him. You may need to talk to us. You may need to use the altar. But there's something you need to do. We're going to stand and we're going to sing. And as we sing, as God's Holy Spirit speaks to you, don't resist him. Listen and obey. Let's stand together. Let's sing.
There is a fire.